Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast Radio Show, coming to you on this Friday, November the 10th, 2023. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are talking about the reality of running a business, whether you are somebody who is an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you work in a small to medium-sized business, even if you're somebody who just works for a giant corporate machine. I think there'll be some nuggets you can take away on this conversation just for the fact of you can maybe see things through a different lens and understand why certain people in certain roles do the things that they do and why the business machine has to run the way that it does. And maybe more importantly, why it runs the way that it does. So that is today's episode. It's been a couple days since we've been here. I don't know what it is. Some kind of cold, flu, who knows, COVID, the bird flu, whatever the fuck is going on. I didn't have a voice for a couple of days. It's been about a week for me just dry coughing at night, which really sucks because like you kind of fall asleep and then dry cough yourself awake, which is not ideal. And it's just this violent coughing with no production of anything, which is never fun. It's been many, many years since I've had one of those. Probably... like 7 or 8. But again, 'tis the season. And I'm around a lot of people. A lot of people got kids. Kids come in here. We touch a lot of things. There's just germs to be had. And, you know, sometimes they break through. And here I am a week later still trying to clear my throat and deliver to you guys. So I apologize if I sound a little raspy or like I smoked 50 cigarettes. I promise you I did not. It's just where I'm at on this journey right now. So before I jump into all of the business stuff, I'll touch on a lot of things in the episode. Obviously, you guys know how we roll. One, the Jeremy Scott Fitness app, we're kicking off our microdosing mobility program on November the 20th, so 10 days from now. Again, it's just like what it sounds like. It's microdosing mobility every day for 32 days. I think this is something everybody should do. Everyone who's listening to this, get a couple pennies. First of all, the app is free for a week. But get a couple pennies together and at least do the 32 days. Like, I promise you, the couple bucks you're going to spend on this, the ROI is huge. We're asking for about 5 minutes each day, every day. We'll test and retest, taking you through 16 individual, essentially, mobility flows and finding the tight and trouble spots in your body, helping you avoid, hopefully, injury in the future and just move better and feel better. So if you're somebody who is stiff, you're tight, you have any prior baggage and injuries, you sit more than you like, you know you're not as flexible or mobile as you want to be, this is the program for you. Don't bullshit yourself. Everybody can be better. Like even the best people I see, there's holes in their game. There's people here who can do essentially like the side splits, but they have tight hip flexors. And they're TFL, and they can't do, like, let's say the couch stretch up against the wall, full flush, glute to heel, but they can, you know, essentially do the side splits. So what I'm saying to you is even if you are, quote unquote, super flexible and mobile, which not trying to be a dick here, most of you are not, this is something that can help you. That's why I made it. That's why we created it. It's something that I live by. It's what I do every single day, and it's giving you the little pieces. So the education piece inside of it is huge. And then obviously we're going to test and retest to see where you're at on day one versus day 32. And I promise you, if you do it every day, just 5 minutes a day, you'll move better and feel better. So jeremyscottfitness.app, you get all the app content plus the program. So November 20th, join me. Don't be a lazy ass. If you want to see the reminders, get on our email newsletter list, hit me up. I'm happy to add you guys there. Also, you guys already know this episode is brought to you by my homies at AG1. Drinkag1.com/JeremyScott will get you guys a year's supply of free vitamin D. And 5 free travel packs with order 1. If you live someplace that's not Arizona and it's not sunny, you should be taking D3 and K2 every day. Probably need to take it if you live in a place like Arizona anyway, because the odds are you don't get enough skin exposure to your body to absorb all the vitamin D that you need in your life. We're giving you away a year's supply for free with a purchase of AG1. Now, you guys know it's the one thing I take every single day I never miss. I travel with it. I think it's the best tasting greens on the planet. I take it to boost my immune system. So if I do get sick like this, I can kick it sooner than later. And I can still actually come to work and function and train. I do it to boost my energy. I do it for gut health. I do it to cover the micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals that I'm not going to eat with real food. I eat as much real food as I can. But this covers the gaps because it's tough to eat 10 to 12 servings of fruits and veggies. So if you're somebody who wants an easy foundational supplement, like an easy solution in your life, this is what I would take. And that's why I take it. And I've done it for, I think, 7 years now in a row, every single day. So drinkag1.com/JeremyScott gets you hooked up. Or if you want a free sample, 100% for free, message me anywhere you can. Monica will send you a free travel pack right to your front door. You can try it. If you like it, you get hooked up with all the free stuff from there. So don't feel weird. Just reach out and ask. We're happy to send it to you. Otherwise, links in the show notes, drinkag1.com/JeremyScott, and you're good to go. All other sponsors are in the show notes, Dry Farms Wine, Sleeves Sold Separately, and J-Lab Pro, where we get our protein, turmeric, collagen, and krill oils. And then also, what else we got in there? If you guys want discounts on the Go Ruck stuff, obviously I have a discount on that, I think, till the end of the month, which is pretty sweet. And then we just did a deal with Torque Fitness, too, which I'll touch on more probably tomorrow or Sunday when Heather comes on the podcast. So here, that's my plan anyway. But who knows if it will come to fruition. You know, as we say, what is the saying? You make a plan and like God laughs or something like that, just because the plans you have in life tend to not work out. And I know it's only 3 days from now, but life can change on a dime. That much I think all of us know. So before I kick into the reality of running a small business, just to backtrack on an episode we did, I think it's the last episode that we did do, was just a low-hanging fruit. If you guys haven't listened to it, I would say give it a listen. I think there's a lot of good takeaways for you, especially if you're just trying to be healthier, but you're not trying to make this complete overhaul of every single thing you do every single day. And when I say low-hanging fruit, it's just the things that I think can make you healthier physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well. It's the things like waking up early, going to bed early, going for longer walks, drinking mostly water, seeing and communicating with your friends and family more often, turning off social media more often, eating the same nutritious, if you can, organic foods packed with real nutrients every single day, and just being more active and making progress doing the same exercises, squats, push-ups, pull-ups, lunges, overhead pressing, pushing a sled, doing farmer's carries, rucking, the really basic stuff. Like, that's the low-hanging fruit. And it's all stuff you guys can do. It's all stuff most of you inherently know. It's just putting the pieces into play. You know, as we say, easy in theory, harder in application, and we're all crunched for time. But just do the best you can with where you're at. And that was the episode about a week and a half ago now. So if you guys are looking for that, that's kind of the Cliff's Notes version. But if you want to go in more nuanced detail, that's what the episode was digging on. And as I talk about the reality of running a business, just one reminder, we are doing a mastermind group, Dave DiLorenzo and myself. It will be kicking off in January. Dave is probably going to be doing the calls here to people. We have way more applicants already than we need. The link will be in the show notes, but if you're somebody who really wants to be their own boss, you want to make a career change, you want to go from a side hustle and a passion project to a real job, or you already have a side hustle and you want to turn it into your real career, or you're just in a career field and you want to advance and move and have some upward mobility and maybe have more options, this would be the group for you. It's going to be a small, intimate group. It's Dave and I are going to put a lot of time into it. We already have. We have all the module guides done and everything set up. And it's just two dudes who have built businesses from nothing over, you know, almost 20 years for me and over 20 years for Dave that have been successful by every measure of the word. And I'll talk about what that means in terms of running a business in a second. And this is not a flex, and I'm not saying this to sound important or special, but we're two dudes who started from nothing, who became multimillionaires, and run our own businesses. And I know that might sound super awesome and fancy and fun, and trust me, it is, but it also sucks. at times too. And there's a heavy price you pay. Everything in life comes at a cost. Everything. Even the good stuff. There's give and take. There's sacrifice. There's dedication. There's commitment. There's timing. There's luck. All those things go into it. And if I had to do it all over again, was there things I'd do different? For sure. I would say that in every area of my life. But somehow I made it here. And so the group is meant to help you guys not make the same mistakes that we made and help you shortcut your way from where you are to where you want to be. And I think the best way to do that is surround you by a bunch of motivated, you know, entrepreneurial, you know, kind of serial killers, like people who really want to be the best of the best, and with people who have done it. That's it. That's how I did it. And that's how, you know, I want to help other people do it, because I know what it's done for my life. And I know it can do the same for other people's too. It just takes sometimes a belief and a little bit of coaching, a little bit of accountability and guidance to get you there. And so that is what the group will be about. If you guys are interested, hit me up. Otherwise, in the show notes, and you are good to go. Now, the reality of running a business, I'm going to come at this from a couple different angles. For one, my take on education in school is probably not popular to a lot of people who are listening. And again, this is not meant to offend anybody. I'm going to offer no real solutions here. So I'll say that. I'm like the angry guy in the Midwest complaining about, you know, the government and taxes and the things that go on, but not having any real, you know, major solutions short of blowing the whole thing up and starting over, which I know is probably never going to happen and would be very hard to do. And I say the school thing just for the fact of it's what preps you for your work life. And I don't think school does a good job of preparing people to be successful financially. And I don't think school prepares a lot of people to be independent thinkers. Now, there's nothing against school. I went to college, you guys, graduated cum laude. I have degrees. I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I could play sports. They would pay for it. I didn't have student loan debt. It didn't cripple me. It didn't hold me back. It was a great experience. I learned how to be, you know, more of a individual adult, if you will, a little bit more responsibility. I mean, my dad, I think, did a good job of teaching me how to be, you know, what I consider a man to be. But then obviously when you're on your own, it's like you're on your own island. It's a sink or swim moments. You're up, you know, against everything because it's just on you, you know, to kind of figure it the fuck out. And so I think school and college in that setting is great because you can, you know, live by yourself or live with some friends and interact with your peers and you can meet a good network of people. But I don't know if you have to go $150,000 in debt to do that. In fact, I don't think you should, because I don't think the ROI now is worth it. Now, if you're going to be an accountant or an attorney or a doctor, sure, you're part of the machine. There are certain licenses and degrees you have to get into the game. But for the world of entrepreneurship, you don't have to do that. And when I say I don't think it does a great job of making people independent thinkers and educating people, it's because the school system isn't set up that way. If I'm not mistaken, I think the school system, kind of as you know it, is the John, you know, D. Rockefeller kind of setup, where it's like they're not really interested in making, you know, individual thinkers. They want kind of a nation of employees and a nation of workers. Because if you understand the economics of the economy and how it works, if everybody was financially responsible, the whole thing would collapse. If everybody today would spend less money than they make and paid for things in cash, the entire thing would collapse. There would be no need for credit card companies. There would be no need to get loans from banks. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if there's too many really wealthy people, the system collapses. The system only works if there's people who are struggling and broke and using debt, and a lot of people in the middle, you know, scrapping and clawing. And that's what I mean. School doesn't do a good job of educating people financially. Lord knows it didn't do it for me. There just wasn't an opportunity. I graduated college. I've talked about this before. I didn't know how health insurance worked. I didn't even understand what a fucking deductible was. And I'm 22 years old and I got a damn near 4.0 GPA. I don't know anything about 401ks. I don't know anything about running businesses. I don't know anything about taxes. I know nothing about being entrepreneurial and what it would take. just no clue whatsoever. I wasn't taught that. It was like, hey, sit in a chair and learn math 101 or history to 1877 or whatever the fuck the course was. And I'm not saying there's not a time and place for that stuff, but to sit everybody down in a room and say we should, especially if it's elementary, middle school, high school. Again, I offer no solutions here. But hey, all you guys have to take these 8 classes and you have to learn these 8 subjects and you're expected to master all these 8 things, which first of all, any normal job, you probably don't do 8 things. You probably do 1 thing. You know, if you're just the attorney at your, you know, company, you're not also the accountant. You're probably not also the janitor. You're probably not also the human resources. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have individual things, but in school, it's like, hey, let's learn all these things. Let's try to master them all. And yet all those things you learned, they don't prepare you for the real world in the right way, in the entrepreneurial world anyway. They prepare you to be an employee for the most part. Show up, sit in a spot, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, follow along and be happy with it. You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. The world needs a lot of that stuff, and that's awesome. And if it gives you great work-life balance and it's fun and you like what you do, respect. I just don't think school does a good job of teaching people that there's other avenues out there. And I think what we've done, this is my soapbox quick, we've vilified actual skills and trades. I think you're seeing it kind of rear its ugly head right now. Like a plumber, an electrician, a general contractor. You're a guy who lays tile. You're the pool guy. You're a landscaper. We have basically demonized these and saying, well, if you don't go to college and get this degree, you're a fucking dummy and you won't be successful, which just isn't true. And I'm not saying if you graduated, you know, with a philosophy degree from whatever university, you're not smart and you're not, you know, of use, but I'd rather have the plumber, dude. Like, when I got a problem with my toilet, I need him. Your philosophy degree doesn't do shit. Now, to tell me like this guy who became a plumber is not as successful, not as smart, and he's dumb, yet you have this degree that costs you $150K that has real no fucking utility in the real world, because any job you're going to get, you're going to have to learn a skill anyway, that baffles me. So the fact that that was the narrative like when I was growing up, and it still kind of is today, I'm glad a lot of it is going away. I just like to bring that to light to people who are thinking about stuff. And I'm not telling you not to have your kid go to college or, you know, what you're doing is not important. But being an electrician is a good trade. It's a real job. Like, being a mechanic is a real trade. You know, being a fucking truck driver is a real thing. Now, you might not like any of those things, and that's fine. You don't have to do them. But they're a skill. And if you became an electrician after a couple of years of training and I graduated from college, you are much more useful than I am, because I had no skills, you guys, like none. Everything in this life that I've learned has been post-college. Now, there's some things I could take from my school experience, sure, but most of it came from, you know, just having to kind of figure it the fuck out. And I just share that because there's not just one path to success. It's not a straight line. It never is. It wasn't for me. Won't be for any of you. But there's no right or wrong answer is what I'm saying. You can go to all the school, you can go to private school, you can get all the degrees, cool, or you can go to public school and you can learn a trade. You can have an awesome, amazing, badass life and be successful both ways. In fact, I'll put it this way. There's people I know who work in corporations who love their job, and I think that is fucking awesome. It just wasn't for me. But most of the people I know who are the most free and have the most financial success and freedom are the people who have become very entrepreneurial in what they do. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be their own boss, but they're entrepreneurial in spirit, even if they do work for a corporation. And that's what I want to just touch on here is it's not easy to do. I understand. The easy path is just go to school, work for a company. Hopefully they don't fire you, which more than likely these days, within 40 years, they probably will. And you go to another company and another company, or you'll leverage this company versus that company, and you'll keep moving up the chain, you'll make your money. And that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. Because the alternative is harder. Being your own boss is harder. Running your own business is harder. And it takes a certain kind of person, and it takes a certain amount of time, effort, and energy that a lot of people aren't willing to commit to. And back in the day, it wasn't considered cool and a lot, not as many people were doing it, right? The internet has changed things. Technology has been able to level the playing field. There's a lower barrier for entry for a lot of careers now, which I think is awesome. And the way people talk about entrepreneurship success is wrong, in my opinion. And I don't think it's accurate. Most entrepreneurs, most people running businesses, it's not a bunch of people making multi-millions or billions of dollars launching a tech startup in like Silicon Valley, getting funded by VC firms or cashing in on billion-dollar IPOs. Side note, Heather and I have just started watching Super Pumped on Netflix. I think it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Kyle Chandler, coach from Friday Night Lights. It's the Uber story. And I knew some of the stuff about Travis and that, but it's we're only like two or three episodes in. But it's basically what I'm talking about. I think when people see that, they think that's what it's going to be. I'm the next Uber. I'm the next Instagram. And that's not reality for 99.9% of people in this space. It's not about having Lamborghinis and having $100,000 watches and taking the most exotic trips and having these ballin' ass parties while you're underpaid employees and your tech software does all the work for you. In real life, not on social media, not on Instagram, not on TikTok, those super glamorous, you know, startups, rarely profitable. And most times those big IPOs, they tank and they eat shit. And the startups tend to shut down and they get sold off for parts. In the real world, most entrepreneurs, most people who run their own business can't afford to live in these amazing destinations like a Silicon Valley or a New York City or a Chicago or a Boston in the nice areas, or even now a fucking Scottsdale for that matter. Because it's just become, it's not affordable for what that life will bring you, especially early on. Because real entrepreneurship is, to me, about being happy with whatever level of success you achieve and how much fulfillment you get. It's about helping people. It's about being proud of the work you do and who you've become on the journey. And it's also about being financially independent and being, in my opinion, as debt-free as possible. I think makes life a whole hell of a lot easier. Or if you can be completely debt-free, trust me, makes life, it just makes the things in life that suck not suck as bad when you don't owe a bunch of fucking money and things go sideways. And so whether you make $50,000 a year or $250,000 per year, and yes, those are real kind of, you know, not nonsense numbers in the entrepreneurial space that are very realistic for most people, it's about how hard you work and the sacrifice that you make, but also having some control over the ride, you know, over the journey. Like, you're in control of your own destination. I would rather, if I'm going to fail in this, I'd much rather be the bus driver than be a passenger on the bus. And that's how I would feel about working for somebody else. Now, I don't have no problem with doing partnerships and doing things with other companies and being part of what they do, but it's not my main source of money. And if they turn off the faucet, I'm not going to, you know, starve. Like, I'm in control of my own shit, or at least as much as anybody can be. And that's important to me. It's about having a vision. It's about having a goal. And it's about turning those things into reality. And it means running an actual business that is actually profitable and actually serves people and helps people in your market, in your niche, in your space. And you can be optimistic and you can be super, you know, forward thinking. You can be super, like, I guess, growth focused, but you should also be realistic. And you got to be disciplined and you got to be smart about your choices. Because the odds of you becoming the next Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos by the time you're 30, sadly, is probably not going to happen. Some of you, it might for sure, but for most people, no. I just want to preface that before I kick into these 11 real things that most people won't tell you about, you know, running your own business. Now, this came from Coach Theo. And he threw it out there, and I've known Theo for a long time. He runs a fitness business similar to what we do here. Not the same, but we have many similarities. And it's just talking about 11 things that nobody will tell you about running your own business and being your own boss. And this is not to deter anybody, but it's just to paint a picture of what reality looks like for most people, especially when you start. Now, there's different phases in your business. Right now, like where I'm at, I like, you know, for the most part where things are. Could some things be better? For sure. I don't think there's any business in the world that says, you know what, we couldn't refine this or improve this or make this better. But I like the trajectory for the most part. But, you know, it's to me, when you're your own boss and when you're looking at the future, especially with technology, how fast things are moving, it's like the weather, man. Like, it could say it's not going to rain, and then all of a sudden it's a downpour, you know, 6 hours later. And that's kind of how I look at running businesses. You know, it's you can be exposed, you know, in certain areas for sure, but it's nice to have different revenue streams. It's nice to understand where you're at, where you came from, and obviously where you're going. And the first thing I want to touch on is if you're going to do this and you have the audacity to be the CEO of your life and of your business, you won't get to just clock in and clock out. That's not a thing anymore. And I don't mean that like you won't clock out of work and leave work physically, because you will. But for me, I don't think your mind can ever clock out until it's completely dead. Your mind's always going to be thinking. It's all-consuming at first and even years later. And at times, it can overwhelm you and it can become the only thing that you think about. But as time goes on and you become more mature and have perspective and gratitude and realize it's, you know, it's a business. It's your passion. It's your baby, if you will. Over time, it gets better. And you set up boundaries physically and mentally. And that's important to do. But there's constant creation. There's constant nuggets of inspiration you have to grab. You have to essentially reinvent the wheel. And you have to pivot. And you have to evolve or you become extinct. And Theo has a famous one-liner, like, just when you think you got it, you don't. You know, like, just when you think everything is perfect and it's fixed and it's amazing and now you can be happy and you can relax, something changes. In fact, there's a video I'm going to share later today on Instagram. Heather had sent me this post. I wonder if I have it on my phone here. Just about perfection and what we do as humans. And it's just about letting go of unreal expectations, if you will. And the message goes like this. It's not that the brave say that you love your body only after you've contorted it precisely to what you want it to look like. It is not the brave to say you don't care about possessions when you have access to everything in the world. It's not that brave to say you aren't motivated by money when you have enough. When you only find happiness and peace after you've fixed every flaw, mastered every challenge, and are living decidedly in the quote-unquote after part of your picture-perfect life, you have not resolved anything. You've only reinforced the idea that you can't be happy until everything is perfect. And a lot of people are guilty of this. The truth is that you don't have to change your life when you fix every piece and call that healing. You change your life when you start showing up exactly as you are. You change your life when you become comfortable with being happy here, even if you want to go forward. You change your life when you can love yourself enough, even though you don't look exactly the way you want to. You change your life when you are principled about money and love and the relationships and the way that you treat strangers and the people around you. The point of me reading that is you don't change your life when you fix every little piece and you call that healing. You change it when you just show up today. And you might hate how you look. You might hate the money you make. You might hate your job. You might hate a lot of things, but you don't hate yourself. hear me again. You can hate where you're at in certain areas of your life. You can hate how things have went, but you don't hate yourself. You love yourself enough to appreciate who you are today. And if something sucks, you love yourself enough to fucking change it. You do. If it's career, if it's money, if it's relationships, if it's physical fitness, if it's everything rather than in between, you don't hate yourself. You love yourself enough to fucking make the changes you need to make and start being happy today, even if it's incrementally along the way. Because you guys know the goalposts are always moving. They always shift. They always change. And even if you could make everything perfect in your life, and I promise you, you can't because I've tried. Even if you could do that, all you did was reinforce the idea of, well, I can only be happy if all these things are right. Like, dude, that's like saying I can only work out if the sun is shining and all my clothes match and I have perfect workout music and I have no aches or pains or not. Dude, if I only worked out on days that I had no physical issues, aches, pains, tired, whatever, you name it, I would probably never work out. I can't tell you a day where I came in here and I felt like I was 16 years old and full of energy. Because why? I'm not 16 years old. Like, you just sometimes have to just shut the fuck up and do the work. You know, it's like you can hit the SOS button and you can wait for somebody to come save you. But the reality is no one's coming to save you. You just have to do the work. And that's... just take that for what it is. That's in your business. That's in your personal life. It's in your professional life. It's in everything in between. Sorry, got on a rant there. Number two, you'll spend a lot of time troubleshooting and putting out fires. In this life, you're lucky if you can wake up and be, you know, motivated and inspired after year number five, after year number seven, after year number 10, after year number 13. And if you can wake up fired up to start the day and attack the main priorities on your list, and you can get those done, you'll probably get hit with another five. And you had no idea that they were going to show up, but you'll still have to take care of them. You know, as the boss, the buck stops with you, if you will. And as the owner, your job is never done. And it's the one thing where in sports, you can have these high of high and lows of lows. In this life, it's not the same for me as like playing in a basketball game and you can be up by 10 points and the crowd is with you and then you can be down by, you know, 4 points later because there's a huge momentum swing and they went on a run of buckets and you just feel like you can't stop them. And even if you're still, if you were up by 20 and now you're up by two, you feel like you're losing. That feeling of adrenaline and those swings of highs and lows in sports, I don't feel them like that in this space, but the one thing that does parallel it is you can be having a shit time and one thing can go right and now you're right back in it. Or you can be having a great stretch and then two or three things happen and you feel like you're a bag of shit. And sometimes you feel like the business could never fail. And then 2 days later, you feel like all it's going to do is fail. And that's what I mean by you're going to always have to troubleshoot and put out fires and deal with the things that you probably don't want to have to deal with. And I've done that more, you know, then I'd like to admit over the past almost two decades, but that's the game. That's what you sign up for. When you know you're the last line of defense and you know there's no one else to call. Like, so there's times, you guys, where I've felt like a complete piece of shit and I've come in here on like zero sleep, like literally no sleep, and came in here like a fucking zombie and just had to somehow go on robot mode and make it through the day. Because there was no one else to call. Everybody else had planned trips, vacations, other obligations. I was the only person who could come in. That's what I mean. Like, sometimes you're the last person to do it. And then when something goes wrong or breaks or someone's pissed, it's your responsibility. So as the owner, you get a disproportionate amount of the praise. Everybody thinks you're awesome when you're awesome. But also, you get a disproportionate amount of the complaints and the whining and the bitching. And when things suck, everybody thinks you suck. It's, how do you say it? The best of both worlds, if you will, or the best of one world and the shittiest of the other. Number three, you won't be able to do only the things that you love. I used to think that, especially when I first started, I only had to train people and have fun to be successful. And then you discover there's so much more to even a fitness business than that. You discover the books, my friends. You, at some point, like us, when you start to purchase real estate, you got to deal with the banks. And with operating a business, you got bills. You got to talk about your branding. You obviously have a building like us. If you have a brick and mortar facility, there's marketing that's basically 24/7, 365. There's constant communication. There's cleaning. There's designing. There's fixing. There's inventory. There's a lot of shit that goes into even the most simple business. And perhaps you're somebody who like loves to bake, right? Or you love to do fitness. You just better know that if you start a baking business or a fitness business, baking in a kitchen or doing fitness training, when you build it big enough and you scale it, it's going to be the least of what you do. And over time, that gets better because you can put people in place. You can organize things different. You can scale up or down as you need to. You can understand what makes you happy and the people you want to work with. And so as time goes on, you can focus more on what you love and have other people do the things that you think suck. But it's not going to be ideal at first. And there'll be seasons where it's disproportionate to what you want it to be, you know, because there'll be moments where you ask yourself, like, bro, I didn't sign up for this shit. And a joke with my buddy Ben Novak down at Spire Health Club, he has six or seven coaches down there, and runs a great gym in Phoenix. And him and I were just texting back and forth. He's like, hey, man, I got a kid leaving. I was doing like 30 training hours now that I'm going to have to cover. And I'm reading that, and I'm in my brain, I'm thinking, dude, you don't have like, you're going to die. Like, we're 40, bro. I'm a man. I'm 40. You don't have 30 extra hours to give to people. Cause it's, again, training people is fun, right? But it's exhausting at times too, even though you're not physically doing the work. And again, it's not as hard as being a roofer in Arizona or, you know, shoveling snow in Wisconsin in the wintertime, but you have to be mentally there the entire time, and you have to be on and focused. And there's a lot of things you're going to analyze as you go through it. And him and I just talking, I'm like, dude, I'm like, I don't think you have the bandwidth to do that. And him and I are just going back and forth saying like, you know, hey man, how long can we really do this shit for, you know, like how long can we really clean up everybody else's mess, and how long can you stay motivated and energized? And we're both still having fun and it's great. And he messages back. He's like, well, maybe Bitcoin will take off and that'll be our ticket. And, you know, joking, but hopefully serious too. I don't know, man, it's a different world for sure. And anybody who's been their own boss or is right now, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like sometimes when it rains, it pours, you know, and, no one's going to care as much as you do, and they shouldn't. You know, it's yours. You have 100% ownership. Your name's on the door. But lucky enough, you get good people in place who give a shit enough to put you in a position to be successful. And that's also tough to do, but that's part of being a leader too. And again, for me, we have more people on the digital side of stuff than we do in person here, just because my business is way bigger on the internet than it is in quote-unquote real life. But when we hire people, whether it be like the Matt Sizemores or like Rob or Dee, or if it is like a Brian or a Monica, I don't want to micromanage you. I didn't hire you so I can sit here and babysit you on how to do your job. Like, you should be able to do your job. Like, that's why you're here. And everybody has different leadership styles and different management styles. And some people like to manage a bunch of different personalities. Myself, I personally don't, but you have to know that too, especially if you're going to get into the game. Like, because being a owner is different than being a manager, and it's different than being a technician. And sometimes you have to find that out the hard way. Number four, and this is important, you might end up becoming an employee versus an owner. And I've been guilty of this early on for sure. The business will control you if you don't control the business. And I lived this for a long time. My wife knows for sure. And you got to ask yourself, what would I pay someone to do the same job I'm doing? Wearing all the hats I'm wearing, spending all the hours I'm spending, back in the day, I used to think I was making good money. And then I calculated the hours that I worked. And I analyzed the zero vacations I basically gave myself. And I saw how hard it was to take a day off. And the irony is employees get treated way better than I was treating myself. And I don't know if you can avoid that, especially when you first start out, but that was my story for many years. And if I look back on it, I think 90% of it was necessary. It's just what I had to do. And then 10% was me being a psychopath. But it takes time, you know, to learn that. And eventually, you have to understand this is not your life. Even though it is your life, it is your job. It is a big part of what you do and who you are, but it's not the only thing you do, and it is not who you are. You have to dictate your own hours at some point, like I do now. You have to say no a lot more, which I say no all the time now. And 95% of me knows that's correct, and then 5% of me, it pains me to do it. Because I'm like, man, okay, I could do that. I can do that. I go, but sometimes the short money, it costs you way more in the long run. You know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, if you will. Or as we say, stepping over dimes to pick up pennies. You know, if someone's like, hey, Jeremy, I'm going to pay you $200, you know, for 30 minutes. If you can come in on Tuesday, Thursday at 5 in the morning and train me. And so I'm like, okay, $200 for a half an hour. Every single week, that's $400, 4, 8, 12, 16. Every month, that's $1,600 to $2,000. That's an extra 20, you know, some thousand dollars a year. And it's going to be just 2 hours, you know, essentially, excuse me, an hour of my time per week. And I think about that and I'm like, nah, fuck that, man. And again, I'm lucky and blessed to be able to say that and be in the position that I'm in. But getting up that much earlier on those days, coming here just an hour earlier on those days is going to cost me so much more than $25,000. So much more. So when I look at the arbitrage of time, effort, and energy for the money, at this point in my life, that is not worth it to me anymore. It just isn't. You have to say no a lot more, and you have to stay focused on what needs to be done and not everything that could be done. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, you got to focus on what's the most important and what you need to do versus, like, I can do everything. Because I promise you don't have the time, effort, and energy to keep doing everything forever. Because like we said earlier, everything comes at a cost. It's like the, if you guys are Avengers fans, Marvel, and they come to Thanos and he's like, you know, did you do it? And he's like, yeah, what did it cost you? And he goes, everything. You know, like it costs sometimes. The things you think are making you money are costing you 10 times more. Because part of owning a business should be about freedom, not imprisonment. Part of owning your own business and being your own boss is the freedom to take a nap on a fucking Monday afternoon. Go to a movie on a Thursday morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, take a week of vacation when you want to take a week of vacation. Work the holidays or don't work the holidays. That is what you're putting in the hours for, so you have control. Your goal is freedom, not imprisonment. Don't be a worse boss than you'd have at Enterprise or American Express or PetSmart or CVS or wherever you work. Freedom is the game, you guys. With freedom comes happiness, comes creativity, comes inspiration. Because no matter how organized you are, there's always something that can be done as an owner. Doesn't mean you should do it. I'll say it one more time. No matter how organized you are, how good you are with time management, there's always something that you can be doing 24/7, 365 as the owner. It doesn't mean you should do it. I don't know where you draw the line on work-life balance in your life. I am not a great moral compass for that. I am way better now than I've ever been. But, you know, when you look back, you know, hey, what did it cost you to get here? And it's like, it didn't cost me everything, but it cost me a lot. That's all I can say. Number 5, you'll be surprised by how much time you spend on communication. This, my friends, is everything. I remember the first time, like, looking at my iPhone screen that the tracker came out to kind of analyze how much time you spend on calls and texts in the apps. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I never knew I was spending 5 or 6 hours a day just on communication. No wonder my eyes were going nuts and I was getting a fucking headache. It's part of the game, right? Like, this is where people live. You know, this is where attention is. I'm thankful for it. You know, because 15 years ago, there's no way I could talk to 100 people in a day. And now I can talk to 1,000 in 5 seconds. Draw the boundaries where you need to. When you're done with work, put your phone down. If it's not an emergency, it can wait. When I go home now, my phone gets plugged in a different room. I'll look at it if I get up, you know, go to the bathroom or something. And if it's a work night and I know there's people here or there's certain projects we have going on, but if Heather and I sit down or we go somewhere and I'm not going to film anything for social, it doesn't need to be there. I don't want to sit and scroll on Instagram. The algorithm is smart. It knows what I want to see. It'll suck me in, whether that's UFC or NBA basketball or, you know, people, you know, driving Broncos around in the wilderness. Like, it'll suck me in. And now they got me. And all of a sudden, 1 minute turned into 14 minutes. And it's easy to do when your phone's always within arm's reach. You get on, there's a commercial, you're watching a show, now you're scrolling and scrolling, and now you're checking email, and now you're checking DMs, and now we're on social media, and we're looking, like, it's too much. Your brain's not equipped to handle all that stuff. And look at your screen time, and look how much time you spend on the apps, and how much of that time is productive, is actually marketing and communicating and making you money, and how much of it is wasted time. Because I spend a ton of time replying to emails, replying to DMs, replying to messages inside the app. We spend a lot of time posting, you know, weekly workouts and loading stuff. Luckily, Monica does a lot of the things now for me, but I'm on the stuff every day, and it's consuming for sure. So you have to have a boundary there. And I know if you're not, I guess here's my take. If you're not making money doing it, get off of it. Go live your real life. You know, it's kind of like the joke people will put on the VR headsets and like, oh my God, look at this tree. Look at the water. It looks so real. You know what else is like virtual reality? Fucking real reality, where you take off the goggles and you just go touch a tree and you go put your feet in the water. What a crazy concept. Now, again, I'm thankful for social media. I'm thankful for the phones. I'm thankful for the podcast. It's been a blessing. But there's a time and place for that, and there's a time and place to just get out and actually live your life and not through just a screen and just a video. And that's coming from someone like me who shares a lot of my life with you guys in a lot of different clips and contexts, but there's huge chunks where you see nothing, and I'm not on there, and that's really healthy to do too. So you have to have a boundary. Number six, the consumer is not always right. That's bullshit. The customer is not always right. They'll act like they are, but they're not. I always hear people when they talk, and they message and they share things. It doesn't mean I always listen though. You know, I take everything with a grain of salt. You're giving your people what they want, but also what they need. And if we listen to what everybody sent us, this business would fold on itself, because it's impossible to please everyone, you know. You can't make everybody happy. Running a business is like trying to pick the perfect music for a group of 30 strangers. And let me explain. You're in your business, you're trying to, if you think you're for everybody, what you're essentially trying to do is get 30 people together off the street, all walks of life, big, tall, short, old, young, white, black, you name it, everything. All different backgrounds, all different decades, and say, okay, hey guys, come in. We're going to have you guys just, you know, do a basic workout today, and we're going to play Metallica, Enter Sandman the whole time. Now you're going to get out of those 30 people, probably 3 people who think that's awesome. 27 people will be like, what the fuck is going on? And then you're like, okay, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to play Britney Spears. And you probably get 3 people who think that's awesome. Everybody else thinks it sucks. Then you put Tupac on, and hopefully everybody thinks it's awesome. But I know they won't, even though they're crazy. And now it's like you're trying to make everyone happy by pandering to the audience because they're saying things, or they're asking or whining or complaining. And sometimes they'll be right. Sometimes they'll have good takeaways and good points, but they won't always. So just understand, like, if you're running a business, the consumer is not always right. They just aren't. You do the best you can with what you're doing with the information, but at the end of the day, it's your business, and you have to understand, what type of business do I want to run? Who is my ideal client? Who are the people I want to work with? And what can I do to give those people the best service possible? And that's just you slowing down and stopping and understanding, is like, hey, I'm not for everyone. I don't want to work with everyone. Everyone doesn't want to work with me, and that's totally okay. Number seven, the reality is people will backstab you, you know, in the business world, both from the B2B side and the B2C side. It's just the truth. I'm trying to say this in the nicest way possible. It's tough because you care about this business and you care about people. If you're in the fitness space specifically, you didn't get in this to get filthy rich. Even though now you can make a lot of money in the space, that wasn't how it started. And I say that because if you're in this space, you want to help people. And you like fitness and you understand how important it is to your life. And so you want to give that back to others. And so typically you're not a fuckface. Like, you have a good heart. Now, there is completely, you know, charlatans and con artists in the space for sure. But for like any space, but the majority, I think, have a good heart and they want to help people. And people will take advantage of that. And many times it'll be your friends. And probably your close friends. The ones you gave deals and discounts to. And I'm telling you, don't sweat it. And don't misanalyze the intentions of that. There's a time and season, you know, for everything. And you can't take things personal. You just can't. And what I'm saying is, when you start, people will ask you for a discount and a deal. I'm not telling you how to run your business, but I wouldn't discount your services to the people closest to you. If they're your friends, if they support you, they'll pay full price. They don't ask Verizon or Coca-Cola for a discount, and they shouldn't ask you for one either, because those guys got way more fucking money than you ever will. But just get used to it happening. They'll ask for sure, and you make the call how you make the call. And again, if you know people on hard times and you want to scholarship them, like we've done here, people have lost their jobs, people have lost loved ones in their life, they've gotten divorced, they've fallen on hard times, we've financially helped them out here. I have done that. But if you're a friend of mine, like, hey, Jeremy, we're friends. Like, you were in my wedding. You have my personal cell phone number. You've been in my fucking house. If you're asking me for a discount on the service that I provide, and you know how hard I've worked, and you know how much of my life this has taken, that's like a kick in the nuts, man. Like, it really is. And I'm not a fan of that. And so sometimes a business owner can come off as just, you know, he has a calloused heart, and, you know, they have their guard up, and you become cynical. I'm not saying do that. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, you as a fitness professional and as a small business owner, you make everything personal, even if you don't try to. And you have things relationship-based and not transactional-based. And what I'm telling you is, most people just come at it from a transactional standpoint. And your real friends are your real friends. Your real family is your real family, and those people will never turn on you. But most people, and this is not a negative, they're going to do what's best for themselves. When push comes to shove, self-preservation is going to take place. And so people will always do what's best for them. So honestly, you got to do what's best for you and your family. And if you try to please everyone, you won't really please anyone. If you try to please every single person, you're going to be fake to some people. And you'll never be the authentic you. And you'll never have the business that you want. And so I'm just walking you guys through that. It's going to happen. It's part of the game. Navigate it the best you can. If you're somebody who visits a small, medium-sized business and has people you know personally, don't ask for a discount. Pay them full price. Be a good advocate for them. Be a good referral system for them. I promise you they'll pay you back, whether it's monetarily or some other way down the line. I'm a huge believer in that. When I go to local coffee places, I always tip. I always do, because I know how hard that is. I know it is. If I find a local auto mechanic, which we've had the same one now for, I think, 13 years, we keep taking our stuff there. I refer them out to everybody because I know how hard that is. And I'd never ask for a discount. I would never ask for a deal. I'm willing to pay the price of what they charge because that's what they're worth. Number 8, unexpected costs are never going to stop. Running a business is like owning a home. Shit's going to go wrong. It just does. Things are going to break. People think, you know, you're a multimillionaire and that these things don't faze you, but they do. And a lot of people think, you know, hey, just because if you have this business and they see it from the outside, everything is, you know, it doesn't affect you, but it does. And now everything costs, right? If you own a physical building, especially like our stuff, equipment, maintenance, liability, if you want to go digital, the website, the texting tools, the email protocols, all the digital stuff we pay for, it's insane. If you want to go like baby stuff, it's $5 for an industrial roll of, you know, paper towels right now. It's crazy. You know, so you think about how the costs are going to pop up. Like I came in here, when did I come in here? Yesterday? Our guys riding the assault bikes, broken, just done. Had to bring it to the guys next door. They basically helped me fix stuff for a case of beer. I think I had to fix a chain, do some other stuff. So I got to message people. The point is that things break, they go wrong. 2 years ago, I came in here, one of your AC units is down. I'm like, oh, cool. What does that cost? Like $10,000. I'm like, oh, okay, sweet. Here's 10 G's. Like, it just showed up one day. It's just part of the game. Things are going to pop up. So I'm not telling you how to, you know, spend your money, but if you own a house, if you're an adult who is, you know, reliant on yourself for money, if you run a business, I would say having 6 months of like emergency funds is appropriate. If you're more on the conservative side, if you can have 12 months, I think that's great. Some people operate on 3. You run your business as lean or as tight as you want to. But for me, it helps me sleep at night knowing like, hey man, if 4 things went sideways, I can just write a check and solve a problem. That's what money does. It doesn't make you happy, but writing a check can solve problems when things break and when things go wrong. And it's nice to have a good network of people. Like, again, I said, my guys next door here, we just got one of the huge M4 tanks from Torque Fitness, which we have a discount on all the Torque Fitness stuff, you guys. Dumbbells, kettlebells, plates, you name it. If you want it, hit me up. But I put most of it together myself, 90%. The last 10% was a huge pain in the ass. So I went to guys next door. They actually fixed bikes. They fixed a lot of our assault bikes. They fixed a lot of the things that I break here. And they hooked it up. And so instead of me having to spend an extra, what I would imagine would have been an extra hour and a half, or had to pay somebody for however long it would have took them, which honestly it took my guy here, I think, about 10, not even 10 minutes, probably 5 minutes, bought him a case of beer, called it a day. So it's nice to have relationships, and it's nice to have people, you know, in your space you can leverage, but just know unexpected costs are going to pop up. If you're going to be a homeowner or if you own a vehicle, you guys know the story already. Murphy's Law. Whatever can go, will go. Number 9, you want stability. If you want stability in your life, I don't think you should be an entrepreneur. You should run and go work for someone else and let them manage everything that I just said. Now, with that said, I do think this is more stable than a corporate job at this point, to me, if the way that I describe it. Now, if you work for, let's say, McDonald's, and you are the general manager of McDonald's, you get one paycheck from McDonald's every 2 weeks. If they decide they want to close that branch, or that you suck, or that it's not profitable, or that a robot can replace you, who knows? Now you have no checks coming in because that one check you had coming in, it's like one faucet was on. They turn the faucet off. There's no more water. In my life, there's multiple people paying us at all times. So if 15 people decide to stop paying us, that's okay. There's thousands of other people to still pay us. Now, is that easy to do? No, that's super hard to do. And was it like that in the beginning? No, it was not like that for many years. So there is no stability up front. But I think the longer you're in the game, if you have your foot on the gas and if you have multiple, I guess, streams of revenue coming in, it is a more stable world. But as you start in the beginning of your business, in the early years, it definitely is not stable. And if that's what you're looking for, kind of a day-to-day show up, do the same kind of thing, get the same kind of paycheck, this is not the life for you. Number 10, if you still want to be an entrepreneur after listening to all this, I would tell you to go for it. But you can't just want to do it. It has to be a calling. It has to be something you're super passionate about. It has to be something that you give a shit about in a way that you've probably never cared about anything else before in your life. Or if you're an athlete, probably the way you cared about sports. If you were the person who just lived and died for baseball or basketball or football, and you loved, you know, even the days where you didn't want to go to practice, you loved it when you were there, and you loved it when you were in it, and you loved competing, and you loved playing the games, and you loved the camaraderie, and you loved building and growing and getting better at something, then it's for you. Then I would say go do it. But you can't just want to do it, and you can't just do it because you hate your corporate job and you hate your 9-to-5. If you're not, you know, if you don't feel it pulling you, and what I say is like, it's like pulling you towards it. If you don't feel this like heavy-ass gravitational pull, I would say don't do it. Because you can't be successful in this being half pregnant. Unless you're just the most talented person of all time, maybe you can then. But if you were that, I think you'd already know and you'd already be doing something. And if I do touch on number 11 here, it doesn't mean toilets when I say this, but it's never stop cleaning toilets like you did on day one. And I don't just mean scrubbing the toilet. I know a lot of business owners and people are going to disagree on this one and say, hey, that's someone else's job. You should never do that. And a majority of the time, I agree. Like, yeah. Do I scrub the toilets here every single week? No, I don't. We hire people to do that. But there's a lot of those little things that I still do. And maybe not every day, maybe not every week, but I still do them because it keeps you humble. It keeps you in the game. It keeps you in the dirt. And it lets you never forget where you came from and what's happening on the front lines day to day. So yeah, I still wake up and train people here. On Monday, in fact, I work basically from before 5 a.m. until after 6 p.m. And admittedly, it sucks some days. It's a grind. You're tired. You don't want to do it, but it keeps you on the front lines. It keeps me in the game. And it's one day a week. It's not all 7 days. Again, today, I unboxed and put together all of our brand new torque sled stuff. 90% of it I did myself. But so I know if something does break, how it goes together, how the machine works, and how I can describe it for somebody else to fix it if need be, because Lord knows I'm not going to MacGyver it. Once we break it, which we inherently break almost everything here. The point is that I still take out the trash here. I still do clean the bathrooms here when they need to be clean. I still do pick up when people leave shit lay out. I still will spot clean the turf if I have to. I'll still scrub the walls when people touch it with their dirty ass hands. Like, I'll do touch-ups with paint. I'll still do a lot of the little things because it's not like I'm going to hire a crew every single time one of those things needs to be done. I will, for the most part. Like, yeah, we have a CPA. Yeah, we have a financial advisor. Yeah, we have a cleaning crew. Yeah, we have people who actually will build out stuff on the app. Like, yeah, I have Matt Sizemore build funnels for me. Yeah, Monica will take off a lot of my shit, and Brian will coach stuff. Yeah, but I still do a lot of the things I used to do. I just don't do all of the things, and I don't do them at scale. And I guess that's what I mean, is like, never get your head so far up your ass and think you're above anything. Because I think a good leader, it leads from the front, you know. And again, if you run a business like Amazon, it's way different than, you know, a little dude like me and what we're doing here. But most of you are going to be much closer to what I do here than what like a Jeff Bezos does at Amazon. And so take that, you know, with the, take that for what it is, in the way that you attack your stuff. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I think when your people see you doing the tasks that they do, there's a certain level of respect there that just can't be denied. And the last thing I'll leave you with is this post that came, someone threw it up on Facebook maybe like a week or so ago. And it's just touching on, you know, the reality of what this is. And I'll say this before I start reading. Owning your own business is it's hard to do. It requires an insane amount of time, effort, energy, and dedication. Most of which a normal person is not willing to give. Because like I said, even though I'm thankful for all of this and it's afforded me a lot of opportunities and I've made more money doing this than anything else I could have imagined doing in my fucking life, times like 100. And I'm very, very grateful for it and humbled by it, by the timing and the people. And with all that said, I've given up so many things in my life to be here. For everybody who is listening, is like, man, Jeremy's put out 561 podcasts. It is so much time, you guys, not spent with my friends, not spent with my family. Oh, you've posted on Instagram 6,000 times. You have 2,000 videos on YouTube. Your app has thousands of videos and hundreds of programs. So much time, you guys, not doing other things. And if you ask me how much of it was 100% required to be here, almost all of it. Almost everything I've done was required. I wasted very little time. It's just, that's the unfortunate truth, is that owning and running a successful business that's profitable year over year over year is really hard to do. It's what they don't tell you. For a lot of people, it causes a severe amount of stress and anxiety, and it drains you mentally, sometimes to the point of depression. Even the most laid-back people. And I think I'm pretty chill. I think I've created an ecosystem here for the most part where I'm as quote-unquote close to bulletproof as you can be. But even with that said, you know, it's like the internet, right? Like you can read a post or see a video you did and everybody tells you you're, you know, Jesus walking on water one day, and the next day you're a worthless piece of shit. You know, you can't believe either one of them. You got to kind of keep a level head and you can't be overly emotional about everything. But I'd be lying to you if I said, you know, like doing this and making some of the decisions we've had to make here early on, in the middle, or even recently haven't caused me stress or anxiety and drained me. You know, Heather can attest to it, especially when you're with people. And BJ Kadur talks a lot about this, how he does social media, and he works with nobody in person anymore. And I'm thankful, and I love the community here, and I won't want to give it up, and there's no way that I could rebuild it anywhere else because I don't honestly have the energy to. But it takes a lot out of you, you know? You give and you give and you give and you give and you take on other people's problems and stories and you try to, you know, coach them and counsel them and listen to them. But it does add up for sure. And then you have to take into account you have shit going on in your own life, especially if you have a husband or a wife and kids and you have, you know, parents and loved ones. It's just a lot, man. And that's what they don't tell you. As I'm sure working at a normal corporate job, you're going to get stress and anxiety, and it's going to drain you mentally too, maybe to the point of depression. But I think in the entrepreneurial space, even more so, because there's just a heavy price you pay to be successful. And I think that's with everything. If you guys ever watch, if you're basketball fans and you ever watch like The Last Dance, you know, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. And there's a price that he paid for that. There's a sickness that he has. There's a disease that he has, this undeniable just passion for winning almost at any cost. And he's paid a price for that, for sure. And you just have to know, I'm not trying to compare you guys to Michael Jordan, but he's the best at what he did. And you're trying to be the best that you can be in what you do. And it will require a similar amount of energy and effort. Which you understand, like when you run your own shit and when you're your own boss, especially if you're on, you know, for us, like anybody wants to drop us a 5-star Google review, we'll take it. Go to Google, type in Jeremy Scott Fitness, drop it a 5-star, say it. The podcast rocks. If you're on Apple Podcasts, drop it a 5-star there too. And if you're on Spotify, click 5-star. It's super easy. We appreciate you. And for all the awesome stuff people say, other people are going to be talking shit. That's just life, especially on social. People will talk about you. They'll compare you to others. They'll use you. They'll view you as a service and not as a person anymore. Now, I'm lucky I have a lot of great people here who view me as a person, and there's other people here that just view me as a service. I got a couple of messages on the app today. Again, the app is a little different. It's thousands of people across the world where this person was just messaging me like it was a service and like I wasn't a human being. I'm not going to share the context of it because I don't. It's not going to put me in a good mood, and I don't think it's very helpful. But they didn't view me as Jeremy, you know, the son or the brother or the husband. They just viewed me as Jeremy Scott Fitness, the fucking machine, the person with hundreds of thousands of people who follow him and has all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. That's what it is. You just got to know that's going to happen. And like I said before, friends and family are going to expect a discount. And people will value you and your hard work less than the big chains, which is completely fucked up. And I don't know where that psychology comes from, but it's just the reality. And people are like, no, Jeremy, I would never do that. I value all the small businesses way more than the big chains. Yet you ask the small businesses for discounts, but you don't ask them at Target or Walmart, which is fucking wild to me because they can afford to do it. Your buddy can't. Your buddy's auto shop can't. His marketing business can't. You know, his insurance company can't. He needs you to pay the prices that he's asking. When you're your own boss, you have to worry about if you forget an email or a message or if you call somebody back. And if you don't, and you don't do it in a timely fashion, are they going to think it was on purpose? Are they going to be pissed? Did you disappoint them? Are they going to hold that against you? Are they going to leave you shitty reviews? Are they going to talk bad about you and say things that really aren't true? When in reality, you just can't get to every single message, every single email, and every single phone call every single second of the day because you probably don't have the infrastructure. And even if you do, there's going to be some lag time. And it's weird because you can go to like a fast food chain, you know, 50 times and they can fuck up your order and you'll still go back and back and back and back, even though you know it's not perfect. Yet you go to a small business or a place once and they won't be great and you never go back. I've never really understood the psychology of that. And I'm not saying everybody does that, but I find that more so to be true. Like, I remember when I was like young and broke, this is like, you know, I'm like 18, 19, 20. And you go to Taco Bell, right? And sometimes Taco Bell would be like really good for an 18-year-old who's shit-faced. And sometimes you'd go and it would be trash, like cold and stale and just, but yet next Friday, you'd be shit-faced and you'd be right back in the Taco Bell line for that $5 box at 2 a.m. You know, because like you had the short memory, but if you went down to this local coffee place and, oh, so-and-so wasn't super friendly, well, I'm not going to go back there because Julie didn't make my coffee or she put the wrong milk in. It's like we tend to do that with the smaller guys and don't give them as many chances as the big guys. And in the future, you guys, if you can, give the smaller guy a couple more chances. Again, I've talked about this and I'll wrap it up quick. Starting a small business and running a medium-sized business or any business for that matter is going to put a strain on your personal life and your relationships. And many of which are going to fail because there's no work-life balance. There just isn't. And I'm thankful for my wife. I wouldn't be here without her. This business wouldn't be here without her. There would be no Jeremy Scott Fitness if I had met some other girl, probably. Even if it was here, it wouldn't be what it is today. Because she's independent. I'm independent. Her understanding of business and the psychology behind it and the belief system she had as a young woman versus who she is now, fucking wild, dude. Like, it's just wild. There's no way. Like, with the amount of time I have had to spend making me this person and doing this life, that my wife should have wanted to stay with me or be with me and be married to me. Now, again, there's a great payoff with it, obviously. The people we've got to meet, the money we've got to make, the place we've got to go, all those things. But it is not easy to do. And it is not something for everybody. And a lot of times your personal relationships will fail because of what the business demands of you. because you got to be the director. You got to be the worker. You got to be the admin. You got to be the marketing team. You got to be the accountant. You got to be the cleaner, at least at the beginning, all while being a parent, a husband, a wife, a family support friend. And it's one of the hardest things that you'll try to balance. And again, like I said, I'm no master of it. Almost 20 years in, I think I kind of have it quote unquote figured out, but who knows, something could happen next week and I could be right back at square one. But I think I have pretty good perspective at this point of what I need to be doing with my time, effort, energy, and how I should be doing it. Because again, at the end of the day, like if you give your time and you sacrifice, there'll be benefits for sure. But if you strive for like a financial benefit that's beyond, you know, I guess what would naturally happen, you're going to have to sacrifice your time. And what I mean is the people that make the most money that I've seen in any industry are the people who can not necessarily just dedicate the most time, but can take on the most amount of stress. And how much are they willing to chew for what they're willing to be paid? That's it. So if you strive for these massive financial gains, you're going to have to sacrifice time and you're going to have to take on a certain level of stress. It's just the way it goes when the business is relying on you to survive and you're relying on the business to provide. That's the price to be paid. You know, if you want to, you know, work for yourself and make $50,000 a year, I think you can do that without working a crazy amount and without being super stressed. But if you ask me, hey, Jeremy, I want to work for myself and I want to make $250 a year, $350 a year, $400,000 a year, over $500,000 a year, which at that $500,000 range puts you in the 1% of all earners on the planet, it's going to cost you, man. It's going to cost you time. And there's going to be things that you have to do that are going to stress you the fuck out. And that's just the game, you know? So sometimes in life, the amount of stress you can take will equate to how much money you can make. And if it's working for yourself, it comes in the form of time spent and stress taken. And there's a reason why you don't see many people in small businesses after 5 years. And if they are successful, a lot of them are overwhelmed because it takes a toll and it's fucking exhausting, especially the past couple of years when there's so much out of people's control. If you ran like a restaurant or a gym or these places where they would shut you down, just wild shit, man. So I just share that as a reminder that every small business and every place you go into, they're just normal people with hectic lives. And know when you visit their website and you visit their social media and you visit their business that you're visiting their dream. You're visiting an idea that they had in their head one day that they turned into reality, and they have poured probably more into that thing than you could ever fucking imagine. And they continue to do it over and over and over, day after day after day. And they're not superheroes. They're not perfect. They're normal people with hectic lives doing the best they possibly can to make this thing keep living and keep helping you provide you whatever service it provides you. So if you can, when you guys visit the small to medium sized businesses, even the big dudes, like fucking everywhere you go, be kind, be patient. And if you can, support the small guys. And hopefully, you know, more of us will stick around and keep doing it year after year after year. Because when you don't support the small guys, there's no incentive for people to do it. And then everything just gets gobbled up by the biggest things. And again, I'm not against, if it's fitness, I'm not against the big box chains. Respect, like the Lifetimes and the Planet Fitnesses, and they're great. They serve a purpose. They're awesome. But they're not for everybody. And if all you could do was go to Planet Fitness or like Lifetime Fitness, that would suck, man. Same thing for restaurants. Like you support your mom and pop places, especially if they're good. Because if the only pizza you could eat was like Pizza Hut or Papa John's, nothing against them. That would suck, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to support, especially the ones you can relate to and are close to you and are in your community. I just think it makes everything better. So that's kind of a roundabout way of talking about the reality of running a business and what it is and what it takes. I've talked about this before in nuance for you guys. And again, our mastermind group is not just talking about this. It's actually helping people devise a plan and go from point A to point B. And I think entrepreneurship is great. I think America is the best place for it. It's is America perfect? No, we do a lot of dumb shit here. But in terms of upward mobility, of being somebody who grew up broke with no money and never saw an entrepreneur, was not surrounded by successful business people, was not surrounded by millionaires, you can do that in America. You can go from nothing to something. I think easier here than anywhere else on the fucking earth. You have more opportunity here than any other country on earth. If you want to start your own thing and be your own boss, you have more freedom, more choices, and probably the best time for opportunity in your life. Now, I'm not saying the best financial time in your life, because Lord knows what they've done with the money and how they fucked it, for sure. So I don't know where it goes. But with that said, you have tools now today that I did not have in 2009. There's things that exist today that did not exist in 2009, and the barrier for entry is much easier today than it was for me going out on my own, you know, 14-ish years ago. So you guys are in a good spot if you want to be. Is it easy? No. Is it for everybody? No. Is it for you? Maybe. Hopefully this helped you. If you're somebody who's in the fight, you can relate. It's just echoing a lot of the things you know and have heard and have felt and have lived. If you're somebody who's looking to get in the game, I think it's a great time if it's for you and if it's your calling. But I don't want to sugarcoat it and just make it seem like you're going to create an Instagram account and a website, and you're going to get an email list of hundreds of thousands of people, and you're going to get hundreds of thousands of people to follow you on social media, and all these people to listen to you on a podcast, and you'll just make millions of dollars, and you can, you know, buy buildings and pay off all your debts and do all these things, because that shit doesn't happen overnight, and that does not happen for most people. And if you have bigger aspirations, like you want to be the Bezos and the Jobs and those, for every one of those, there's a million that you didn't hear about that completely just flopped and burned to the ground. And most people who get into this do fail. Most people who get into this are not successful. But if you're willing to work your ass off and you know what the price of admission is, and you know what the price to pay is, you can be successful, especially if you surround yourself with the right people early on, which is something that luckily I did sooner than later. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't know me as Jeremy Scott Fitness. It'd be Jeremy Scott, the real estate agent or insurance salesman. Nothing against those things. Those are all fucking awesome. But I wouldn't be doing this. I would be working for somebody else, probably in their thing, and I wouldn't be here. So take it from a dude who's done a lot of dumb stuff and help you guys hopefully shortcut it. And just know, it's not easy. It's not for everybody, but it's one of the best decisions I ever made in my life, was just walking out of the only corporate job I ever had and started to do this. And I didn't know this is the price that I would pay, but I'm happy to be here and happy to share with all of you guys. So any questions from me, please just ask. Always, again, our mastermind group, if you're looking to do this, we can help you. I can promise you that. If you guys would, I would say jump in the app. Microdosing Mobility, November 20th. It's important. I think you all should do it. It's something that can help everybody, even if you are mobile and fit, but most of you are stiff and tight, maybe sore. You travel, you sit a little too much. You're not as flexible as you used to be when you're 18. We'll try to get you back there and even beyond. Or if you never were flexible, this definitely is for you. And then again, if you guys want free samples of AG1 or any other sponsors, they're going to be in the show notes. My goal is to hopefully pop back in here on Sunday with Heather. Talk about her trail running, rucking, and everything that's been going on in our life and all the stuff that we have coming down the pipe here. So I appreciate you guys on YouTube. Thank you. Otherwise, subscribe to the YouTube page. It's completely for free. Drop us the reviews on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star, and just say, hey, Jeremy, the podcast rock. Thank you. Same thing for Spotify. We appreciate you guys. And have an amazing rest of your Friday or whatever day you listen to this. So until next time, eat well, train hard, be nice to people, and please, you guys, keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.